Down the Dump Podcast. Good morning and welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. My name is Luke Stevens, and I'm joined today with our first ever five-man podcast, which is currently a four-man podcast because one of us is late because we shoot this or record this so early in the morning. But I'm joined by Jay Smith, who is currently absent.
Hey, I'm Jay Smith.
Taylor Dickerson.
Hey, I'm Taylor.
Andrew Schlecht.
Hey, I'm Andrew.
And we have our fifth man who is visiting us on his spring break from Portland, Oregon, Alex Spears.
Let's party, everyone. Spring break.
All right.
And we have Luke Stevens.
And they are actually...
Luke Stevens!
It is actually a five-man podcast. Not all of us will be played by Taylor. But there was a... Thunder had a week of basketball. And they had three games. And to tell us about that, Andrew is going to tell us about it.
Well, they played the Wizards last week, and we thought it was going to be a good game, but they ended up blowing out the Wizards. I think the Wizards in that game and recently have only had like two guards in their team that are actually playing. I think one of them is Cartier Martin, so it's pretty bad for the Zards. But John Wall looks great. I think Brad Beal has come back since then. Did Brad Beal play in that game? I don't remember. But they killed the Wizards in that game. And then the next game that they played was against the Timberwolves, which should have been a pretty easy game. The Timberwolves don't have Kevin Love. But again, Pekovic destroyed the Thunder, just like he has in the previous games. And it looked a lot like the game that they played in Minnesota the last time, where the Timberwolves just out-executed them. The Thunder... had a lot of turnovers. They just played sloppy basketball, bad defense, and Pekovic just destroyed them. So that game was pretty horrible and had a lot of Thunder players or Thunder fans upset. And then the last game that they played was a back-to-back with the Wolves and the Bucks, and they ended up kind of edging out the Bucks. In a game that Larry Sanders just talked trash for a long time, and it was so awesome.
So I didn't get to watch this game. Who was he talking trash to?
To KD. KD was at the free throw line, and Sanders was just talking smack, and they went back and forth literally the entire time he was at the free throw line, and it
what
was so awesome.
World? He had zero blocks that game, right? Larry Sanders?
Yeah, that's what everybody took away from that game is that he had zero blocks.
That's what I took away from the stats. In search had eight.
He had some awesome dunks, though. I mean, whenever Larry Sanders dunks the ball, like he just throws his whole body into it. And when he's up there hanging on the rim, like he will move as much as he can. And it looks it looks awesome. I think Larry Sanders is awesome. A lot of people thought, Larry Sanders sucks because he didn't get a block. But he played a good game. He had several dunks. And he just talked mad trash to KD, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But they haven't played a game since then. So they've had a long break until this Spurs game. That's on Thursday night, which is a big game because the Spurs lost two in a row, kind of opening the door for the first seed in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting. The Thunder need to get this win if they're gonna get the first seed. And
do you know what the season series is?
This will tie it up.
Oh, if the Thunder win.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this will tie the season series. So if they win and they end up with the same record, it will go to whoever has the best record in the Western Conference.
That's gonna be like a really big game. I'm excited for it.
It's a huge game.
Yeah.
Manu Ginobili will be out, but he's been out
always
a lot this season anyways. So I don't think that matters as much as some think.
You guys think this rest is good for the Thunder? What, 4 days off?
I don't know. People will either blame it on the rest if they lose, or they'll be like, it was because they had that rest that they won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that it matters that much.
It's going to be
spring is going to be like kind of, it's going to be, it's going to be so excited for the playoffs. I just can't wait.
So the Thunder kind of have their next three games will be tough to win, and that could really determine whether they get the first seed or not. They play the Spurs on Thursday, and then they have a back-to-back. They have to go to Indiana on Friday, and then on, I think, the following Monday, they play the Knicks. So that those three games won't be easy. So if they lose two out of three, I would say that they are going to have that two seed pretty much locked in.
I don't know. The Spurs have been losing bad games. Spurs don't look that great right now. They lost two in a row, right? They lost to Memphis and they lost to the Heat.
But without LeBron.
Oh yeah, and Wade. Yeah.
I heard this on the Basketball Jones. They said that the last six games that the Spurs have played have been determined on the very last possession of the game. So we just heard Jay. He's coming in. But the last six games have been determined by the last play of the game for the Spurs, and they went 3-3, which is pretty good considering games being that close.
Yeah. All right, well, let's jump into our first true or false question, and it is this.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. True or false time, y'all.
If the Thunder do not win the championship after this year, they should go after LaMarcus Aldridge, trading Ibaka and the Toronto pick.
Before you say true or false, is this real?
I don't feel like this is real. Luke, tell us where this came from, because...
This came from a friend of the podcast, Eddie Radosovich. We've had him on before. I think, as far as I know, he thought of this and said, "This is what they should do." And I don't know if he's heard it from somewhere else or made it up.
I've never heard this before. He sent me the text about it. I think it's a decent idea. Things that concern me about LaMarcus Aldridge is he has been prone to injuries, and he's older than Serge Ibaka. And Serge Ibaka is getting better and better and better. Still, I don't think he's the caliber of player that LaMarcus is on the offensive end. But a lot of people have talked about putting together a package for Kevin Love or putting together a package for LaMarcus Aldridge with Serge Ibaka. But the thing that I worry about is one thing that makes the Thunder so tough is that they have two interior defenders who can control the paint. And if you bring in a Kevin Love or if you bring in a LaMarcus Aldridge, you're going to lose that, because Kevin Love and LaMarcus Aldridge are not tough defenders, but they're outstanding offensive players. My worry is that the Thunder already have the number one ranked offense in the league. Actually, I think they've fallen back to number two, but still they have a top ranked offense, and their defense is what's not super elite. And if you take away one of our best defenders, our defense will take another step back. I don't know what you guys think about the trade, but I would rather keep Serge Ibaka and whoever this is going to be, Shabazz Muhammad or whoever that pick's going to be.
Yeah, I originally thought there would be no way that I would do it. But then I went on and looked at the on-off stats,
mm-hmm.
and it was actually really surprising. The Thunder are better offensively when Serge Ibaka is on the bench by 3.3 points per 100 possessions, and they're not significantly better defensively when he's on the court. They're only 0.5 points per 100 possessions better.
That doesn't surprise me, because
he plays with Perk too much.
Nick Collison is coming in,
right?
And he's a great defender. But I think just because LaMarcus would he play power forward? I mean, he'd have to.
Yeah, and then he could play center in small ball, because he plays center, and he had more center time than Serge did this season.
He should play center because he's not quick enough to guard a lot of the power forwards
in
the league. But if you have Kevin Durant and LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, that's freaking crazy offensively. But then defensively, I just don't know where that leaves the Thunder.
My only thing with it is that, do you guys think that as currently constructed, this Thunder team could ever beat the Heat in a 7-game series?
Yes. If the right rotations are made.
But will those rotations ever be
made? I don't know. I mean, I mean, Derek Fisher can't play forever, so.
Eventually. Eventually he will die. And we will
he has to retire at some point.
So that's what we're holding out hope for. Yes.
I mean, I don't know.
He'll just keel over on the court.
That's what's happening, yes. I mean.
But
I pray every day.
I think that they can. I mean, in the finals last year, a majority of those games were close games, except for the last game. I mean, if LeBron got called on that foul on KD, that game could have gone into overtime and they could have won the game and been up 2-0 mm-hmm. on the Heat. And being up 2-0, I mean, that's mentally tough to come back from. I mean, the teams that have done it, like the Miami Heat did it, and it was 6 against the Mavs. And, you know, I can't think of another time that happened in the finals just because that mental edge is just massive. I think that they were close. I know that the Thunder don't have James Harden anymore, which a lot of people would point to. But I think that they were close enough. I think that if the right rotations were put in place with Scott Brooks, that they could beat the Heat. I mean, do you think that having LaMarcus Aldridge instead of Serge would make the difference to beat the Heat?
I just think that to beat the Heat, you have to have like a post score. Because that's their only weakness, mm-hmm. is if you can have someone who can bang down low and actually get boards and then get put back.
But does LaMarcus bang down low? He faces the basket a lot.
If he wants to. I mean, he has to choose to. He doesn't like – I don't feel like that's what he naturally wants to do. But like last year, that's why he did so well, because he was doing that more. This year, he's kind of backed away from that a little bit. With Dame, he's doing a lot of pick and pop stuff.
Yeah.
But I think he can. He can is what
yeah
we've
he
seen
absolutely
last year,
can, though. And I think that's right. I just don't know if that's enough defensively to beat the Heat, because on the other end, I mean, you're giving up a lot. You're gonna leave it all to Perk and Collison at that point.
Yeah,
and Brooks is probably gonna play Collison or Perkins, you know, 20-30 minutes a game, mm-hmm. and that's the wrong team to do that against. But I don't know. I know that I don't know more than Scott Brooks, but sometimes I feel like everybody knows more than he does about his own team.
Especially about this Derek Fisher thing. That I'm not going to get into it, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, the Fisher and the Perk thing, like it seems like everybody knows. And I mean, I don't know. It just seems weird that everybody would know something that Scott Brooks doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't.
It has to be the only thing that we don't have to get really into it, but about Derek Fisher, there has to be something that everyone does not know, I think, that's happening in the locker room.
I mean, it could be KD saying, hey, I want you to put Derek Fisher on the floor because I trust him.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be that.
So you think there's a secret they're going to unveil about Derek Fisher?
No, I don't think they'll ever unveil it. Guys, this is why we've been playing this horrible player. No, I don't think that's what will happen. However,
people are calling him the worst rotation player in the NBA.
I mean, yeah. Has he hit more than... Last time I checked, he was 1-22.
He's hit two shots.
So now he's 2-24.
Yeah. Yes.
2-24. Wow.
He's getting better slowly. That's still really terrible.
I have something to say about the Portland thing. On Portland's side... I was thinking from their perspective, I can't understand why they would make that trade. LaMarcus Aldridge right now is still their best player. If it's for money, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's not a big difference. Like once if they get that pick and they pay that player, there's only like a million difference.
And that's why they could do the trade. And for Portland's side, you're getting a younger, more athletic player who's proven to be more durable. And you're also getting a lottery pick on a team that doesn't have a lot of players. I mean, their bench is the weakest bench in the league, and they're super young. And what would you – I just don't – where are they going is the question.
Well, I think to build around Dame and LaMarcus Aldridge is a lot better than to build around Dame and Serge Ibaka. LaMarcus Aldridge is your go-to player. Dame will probably eventually be that. I think.
But if you have Damian Lillard, you have Nicholas Batum, you have Serge Ibaka. I mean, you have one of the most athletic, versatile teams in the league. And if they would do this, I don't know if they would. If they would play Serge at the 5 and Batum at the 4, And I know Batum is super skinny, but he's long and he could play the four in a lot of situations. And they would just run. I mean, that would be one of the most fun teams in the league to watch.
That's also, I think the thing for me is that's the next era of the basketball. Like, you look at all the good teams, the center position is dying, really. You have Dwight Howard, Mark Gasol, Roy Hibbert-ish, Andrew Bynum's dead body. But you have nothing that really... first off, I don't... Just to clarify, I would not make that trade. I don't particularly... I think LaMarcus Aldridge is good, but I don't think... Where's the touches he's going to get? Because Serge can score the ball. Like, we've seen that. He has maybe as good of a jump shot as LaMarcus Aldridge does.
No way. No, not even close, but he's...
If you're comparing percentages, I bet it's almost identical.
Yeah, but Serge is not a go-to guy, and nor will he ever be.
But would LaMarcus Aldridge be the go-to guy on the Thunder?
No, but I'm saying...
Not a chance.
But I'm saying that Serge is not going to hit... If he's given as many shots as LaMarcus, he's not going to hit
like if it puts Serge makes you, in LaMarcus's
you, you're
place.
Basing that all on feel, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the game, do you... I just don't feel as good about Serge Ibaka being a go-to scorer. I mean, do you think Serge Ibaka is going to average 20 points a game?
Yeah. If he was the go-to guy and he's getting as many touches as LaMarcus Aldridge does, I think he could easily score 20.
If he got as much attention as LaMarcus,
what's he scoring right now for
defensive,
the Thunder?
Defensive attention is the thing.
He has two of the top five players in the NBA taking up space, taking up the attention.
I just think he's not given the chance to be a scorer.
When does he shoot? He shoots the ball when he's wide open.
Yeah.
But that's the offense, Andrew. Like, that's my whole thought. Like, the offense isn't directed on him like it's directed at LaMarcus Aldridge in Portland. I'm not saying he would be equally as good as LaMarcus, but he's 4 years into the league versus, what, 8 years for LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah.
He's defensively, maybe not, I mean, he's defensively a better player than LaMarcus Aldridge. He's more durable.
I wouldn't make the trade either, but I don't think Serge will ever be at the level of an offensive player as LaMarcus is right now. I just don't think that he will ever get there.
LaMarcus is pretty clutch. He's a pretty clutch dude.
He can score in multiple ways.
Yes.
I mean, Serge has his jump shot. Serge can take it to the hole. Sometimes, maybe every three games, he'll take it to the hole.
Yeah, and take the jump shot thing out of the equation. LaMarcus Aldridge can post people up. Serge can't. Serge has a four-step run in the lane shot.
I mean, Serge's footwork is nowhere close to LaMarcus's. Yeah. There's just so many things on the offensive end that, you know, it's just give and take. But I would rather have a guy that can play a little bit on both sides than a guy who can play just on one side.
With a team with
Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Yeah,
but okay, we'll move on. But it's just funny to me because there's a reason they chose to keep Serge Ibaka versus James Harden. Right? It's not just because he can block shots off ball. You know, right. I think they see an upside in him. First off, he's athletically more gifted than LaMarcus Aldridge, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like Serge. I would rather have Serge Ibaka. I just think that he's a better, I think LaMarcus is a more gifted offensive player.
I'm not saying, I'm not disagreeing with that right now, but I think there's a potential for Serge to do the same thing if you were able to get the opportunities LaMarcus has. LaMarcus has had that opportunity for, how long has he been in the league? 10 years? Eight years?
Only six.
Six? Really?
Yeah, he's only 27.
God, he looks like he's 50.
I know. I thought he was going to be, I thought he'd be like 29 or something.
So he's 27, Serge is 23?
I think Serge is 24.
So it's not that much difference.
Is he? He's 24. Oh, okay. And he's dating, what's her name? Carrie Hilson.
Carrie Hilson, yes.
Carrie Kittles?
Who's Carrie Hilson?
Who's Carrie Kittles?
She's a singer. She got in a Twitter fight with Beyonce Knowles.
About Serge?
About Beyonce's song. hold on. What's it called? I only know this from the Jalen Rose.
All the Single Ladies?
No.
Survivor? famous Beyonce song.
Say My Name?
Let's move on to the next true or false question. How about that?
Bootylicious is what I was
thinking. Oh, yeah.
Okay, our second true and false question is this. Eric Spoelstra should be fined for sitting LeBron, Wade, and Chalmers against the Spurs.
False.
Is this a real thing, too? Is anyone saying this?
Yes, people are saying this.
Who?
Dumb people on Twitter.
Why?
I don't know. And people are like...
all over ESPN.
People ask.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
okay. It's not even really a question because they have filed injuries to the NBA. They're not going to fine a team that's filed injuries. The only reason that the Spurs got fined was because they didn't file injuries.
And they didn't fine them.
Pop just sent them home. He sent them. He actually sent them home.
Oh, because they were already there.
Yeah. He sent them home on an airplane to not play in the game. And they didn't tell the league until, like, a couple hours before the game.
And plus the Heat won.
Yeah. So it's
both games.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest thing to me. Bosch led Heat. Did they beat the Knicks last night? I didn't actually see the final. Okay.
No, Knicks killed them.
Melo was in another world. It was crazy. But
yeah, the Knicks killed
them. There's no way that they should find him because all Pop had to do, first off, is Pop's arrogance. It's his history. Because all he's, I'll just do what I want. And so we sent him home instead of just fake injuries. That's what we said, I think, what had happened. Like, Manu Ginobili rolled his ankle in practice, and Tim Duncan's 800 years old, and Tony Parker broke an arm.
It's because he, like, challenged the league.
It's what he does. It's his arrogance. It's his pride. It's
And
Pop
also, this
Pop.
That game was an NBA TV game and not a TNT game.
Yeah.
I think if it was a TNT game, there would be a chance of a fine. Because David Stern is not going to get a call from NBA TV saying, hey, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. He's going to get a call from the people at Turner saying, you know, hey, what's the deal? Why did this happen? Why didn't you let us know it was going to be like this?
And so, it was really convenient for Spoelstra because they just lost after their streak.
The streak is over.
They're going to be sitting Wade anyways at the end of the season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not even – I mean, it's false. It's just I think that's a fact.
Yeah.
Did the streak end between our last podcast and this one?
Yes.
Yeah. That was a great game.
The Bulls game?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was great. Nate Robb,
I loved that. Yeah. And the crowd was so good. I felt like I felt like I was there.
The crowd was great.
What was it that Bill Simmons said about the game, Darren? Post game on NBA TV. He said that this is the first regular season game to transcend fans, like everybody was watching the game. I remember somebody's telling me at the Thunder game, as people were walking out, that everybody stopped and watched at the TVs as that game finished. They said it was the most transcendent regular season game since Jordan came back from retirement.
Which is so weird that it turned into that, because the Heat had closer games than that one in the... You know, they had a couple overtime games, I'm pretty sure, during the streak.
Against the Kings.
It's weird that they had a...
But the reason that people tuned in was because they were down so much in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, I would look at games on my phone, and nearly every game toward the end of the streak was on TV, and I would look and see what the score was. Mm-hmm. And usually by the fourth quarter, the Heat had blown it open, even though they had large leads in the first half. So I think when people saw, like, in the third quarter that the Bulls were up so many, or in the fourth quarter that they were up, like, oh, my gosh, we got to go turn this on.
Yeah. It was awesome.
It was a great game.
It was good.
Yeah, bros.
But let's move on to our next true and false question, and it is this. The Mavs will get the 8th seed.
It's got to be false, man.
Yeah.
Especially after last night.
I waited till the end of the game last night to decide that.
Yeah. I mean, the game was pretty close. Up until, a few minutes left in the game, the Lakers ended up blowing it open, and if you look at the score, it looks like it was almost a blowout. But the Mavs may be keeping their beards. You know, they're what are they, 3 games under .500 now?
Two. And then they're 2.5 back of the Jazz now, and the Lakers.
Yeah. And the Jazz have started winning games again. And right now, I'm just hoping that the Lakers can put it together and get past the Jazz. Because I really do not want to see a Spurs Jazz first round series.
I'm pouring one out for all of us if we have to see that in the first round.
I mean, if it was Spurs Lakers, how awesome would that series be?
Spurs Mavs would be a lot better than
Spurs
Jazz.
Spurs Mavs
too.
Would be great. I mean, the Jazz are the most likely team to get in right now. And, I'd almost wish that the league would rig it, that the Lakers would get in. Everybody talks about that. Being like some conspiracy, but I would rather knowing that they did that, I would rather that happen than the Jazz being in the playoffs.
The difference is the Spurs Jazz. There's no way I watch that. And Spurs Lakers, I watch every game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it would be.
Unless they was just start playing Enos Favors more.
Yeah. If Enos Favors gets in there, I might turn it out.
Yeah, I felt really bad for O.J. Mayo because his barber was at the game last night ready to cut the beard.
They invited him to that Pacers game, and they, like, announced it. Like, it was, like, a formal announcement. And I wonder if they did win that game, if they go back to 500, if they would, like, put, like, a tarp down on the court and, like, have them all shave their beards, like, at midcourt. Like,
that would be so gross.
Like, why would they... I mean, why else would they, like, announce that? Or are they going to, like, go back and, like, come out and be like, hey, clean shaven?
I don't know. That's gross. That would be sick. And I know that they, I could see them doing something like that.
Can you donate beard hair?
No.
No.
Because, like, hair for, like, locks of love. Yeah. First off, who wants that? Like, beard, fake beard hair. Coarse, nasty beard hair.
There are people.
And locks of love, you have to have, like, at least 8 inches. And eventually they'll get there, I think, with how long the beards will be.
I think they should just shave it all and put it on to Chris Kamen.
Like, tar and feather him with beard hair?
Yeah.
I'm in for that. I would watch that on TV as well.
But I will say Dallas does have a pretty favorable schedule.
They do.
But not as much as the Lakers. Lakers, I don't think, leave L.A. but for one game for the rest of the season. But the only two games, they play Denver at home and on the road. That's two hard games for the Mavericks. But everything else is winnable on their schedule. So,
if they'll win those games, though.
They need other people to lose is the bad thing. You know, when you need the Jazz, they'll lose, and you need the Lakers to lose.
Keep it close until the last 5 minutes of the fourth, and Dirk will set you free. Because he's actually the most clutch player in the league right now. Based off of last month, he was last 3 minutes when they're less than or equal to five, he's shooting 71% from the field and 67 from three. And then the last minute when it's less than five or equal to five, he's shooting 100% from the field and 100% from three. And there's four shots on that in under a minute.
But you know who their clutch player is, who they give the ball to? Vinsanity.
Did you see how many stupid threes Vince Carter jacked
up? That's what he does, man.
It was unreal.
The problem isn't Dirk. The problem is guys like Vince and Chris Kamen, who I don't know. I think Chris Kamen sucks. I don't like him.
I'm with you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Well, let's move on to our next true and false question. The playoffs should be reseeded with the top eight teams coming from each conference.
This is kind of my idea, and I know they're not ever going to do it, but I kind of felt like it would be a fun part of doing it. I think it would change it up. I was thinking March Madness. I'm trying to find it on my...
I got the matchups.
Okay, give me the matchups.
So currently, as the playoffs are constructed, what a lot of people say, like, take like the top 16 teams in the whole NBA, but then that would defeat the purpose of conferences. So you take the top... You just take those top eight, and then you just throw them into a pool. So the first round would still be the Heat and the Bucks, which would be probably a sweep. The 2 and 15 would be San Antonio-Boston, which would be awesome. KG versus Duncan would be outstanding.
Ooh, I didn't even think
because those guys hate each other. And a lot of people don't know that because Tim Duncan is really boring. But they really don't like each other.
And green and gray, I just like that color combination, you know?
I mean, I'm with you there. Yeah. Next would be OKC, Utah. Meh. Pass. Denver, Chicago.
That could be fun.
I mean,
Nate Robinson would shoot 20 shots a game.
I'd watch Denver, Chicago.
I just would want to count how many times Nate Robinson dribbled the ball. I mean, he just dribbles the heck out of the ball.
It's because, like, you know, a short person, if they have short legs, they have to take more steps. He's short, so he has to dribble the ball more because it's quicker.
That makes sense.
It's less distance. You got to think about these things, Andrew.
Science.
It is science.
I remember
it was
that.
On sports science.
I think I learned that in biology.
It was on Mansers.
What is that?
Dude,
Mansers?
You've never seen Mansers? Mansers is on FX, like, at really
No, Spike.
Spike TV, even better, Spike TV. And it's just like, it is the douchiest program ever.
Mansers?
Yeah. Okay. Their editing is insane.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, why does it do this? Oh, it's beer tasty. It's like, it's because of this. And it's crazy. Oh, it's great.
That sounded just like it.
Yeah, it did sound just like the show.
I've watched a lot of Mansers, I know.
I didn't know this existed. Okay.
I don't think you can watch Mansers when you have a wife or a kid.
You could answer so many
questions.
Wakes
up the baby, and women would hate that show.
I will DVR it immediately.
Why are boobs awesome? Because they're jiggly!
It's exactly stuff like that.
Next matchup. Clippers and the Rockets.
That's
good. Cool. It sounds like a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis, Atlanta. Indiana, Golden State.
It's
kind of interesting. The offense versus defense. Yeah, it's a weird matchup.
Yeah.
And then the last one would be the Knicks and the Nets.
I would love that.
That's Destiny's Child, y'all.
That's Destiny's Child.
I don't know if I like this idea, taking it like this and doing it like this. I just don't like
it. They will never do it.
They'll never do it. I thought it was just fun to look at.
Yeah.
I did it just with the full 18 instead of doing even conferences, and I thought those matchups were pretty good. It gets fun kind of in the further rounds because instead the Heat would play, you know, in their second round or third round, the Heat would play whoever the four seed is.
A good team.
Yeah, it would be a good team. And so it kind of turns into kind of – but it was just – I was thinking about March Madness.
They could play the Nuggets in the second round.
Yeah, which would be a blast.
Yeah, that's true.
It is. But I don't know. I'd say that'd be fun to. They're never going to do it. There's no reason for them to do it. They have a good playoff system as is, but I just thought it was fun.
Let's go to our next true false question. and it is this: the Wolves, the Timberwolves, if healthy, would have made the playoffs. I think this is true.
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 I like them so much more when they're all healthy, when Love is in and playing well, when Rubio.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we ever really saw like them all healthy and good this season.
Yeah, because Brandon Roy got hurt really early. Chase Budinger got hurt really early.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really important because they're the worst three-point shooting team in the league. They're the only team that's shooting under 30% from three. And they're just terrible. And Budinger and obviously Love would have helped immensely in that category. And then Kirilenko is Kirilenko. He always has back spasms. He's always out.
It's the thing that also, to me, and I feel like maybe last year was the same. I can't remember kind of the 8 seed, but it used to be where the 8 seed in the West was like 10 games over 500.
Yeah.
And there it was just a really – but this year, they're one game over 500 or two games maybe, and so the Wolves could have done that because they're not horrible without their best player.
Yeah. I think in 08 – or it was either – I think
it was
the
Golden
08.
State year.
08, Golden State had 49 wins and was the 9th seed. They didn't make the playoffs.
And that would have been good for, like, the 3rd seed in the East that year.
4th, I think.
Yeah, they would have – I mean, they had a better record than a majority of the teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I looked it up, though. The Wolves were only 500 when Kevin Love played this year. So they weren't, like, markedly better. They were actually good at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
The very beginning of the year.
I mean, they were in the
playoff
race for a long time, and then they kept getting more and more injuries.
Well, when Love was there, when did Rubio come back? Because he was out at the start of the season, wasn't he, for a while?
They probably only played maybe 4 or 5 games together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rubio's gotten much better as the season's gone along.
Yeah.
I mean, against the Thunder, he had 17... and 7, he had 4 steals. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's playing great. Pekovic is playing.
He's so good.
He's awesome.
That conversation you had, just kind of followed the thread of it whenever you were having it with the guy from CBS. Can't remember his name, sorry. But
Zach Harper.
If Khan doesn't sign Peck, he'll get a max, surely. If Roy Hibbert and DeAndre Jordan got what they got.
He'll get that money, yeah.
He's really good. He kills Perkins.
Every time.
He kills most everybody, though. I mean, he just dominates everyone he goes against.
He's terrifying.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
He's like a villain from a Superman movie. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so we ready for some Perk tweets?
And now it's time for Perk tweets.
I think we are. Here they are. This week we have 4... Perk tweets from Kendrick Perkins' Twitter feed. Thinking about 5 guys today.
Wow.
I just ate two of them burgers from Five Guys, feeling like a pregnant woman, shake my head. 20 minutes on the Stairmaster tonight. Don't want to be extra slow tomorrow. I already run like a turtle. And his last one, at his wife, Vanity Hearts 5. You need to get another closet and get your stuff out of mine. Hashtag no room for me. That's been Perk Tweets.
All right.
Now we have a game that Taylor has come up with.
This has been a secret. As of right now, they think the name is, what did I say, Schmoobles?
You called it Schmoobles, yes.
As of right now, this game's called Schmoobles. I'll give you the real name of the game. It is Who Said Did That? Who Said Did That? Who Said Did That? Who Said Did That? Now, I'm going to tell you a story or a quote, and you're going to tell me who said or did that. Who said did that?
Okay. And it's a basketball player? It's not just anyone?
It's going to be a basketball player or a basketball coach.
Okay.
Who and done it?
It's not exactly current. Not all of them are current.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll give you choices. So first story. Jay, you with us?
I'm with you.
This player called off his $2 million wedding 2 hours before it was supposed to start. Was it Quentin Richardson, Richard Jefferson, Ron Artest, or Robert Swift?
Quentin Richardson.
Richard Jefferson.
Huh? Richard Jefferson?
I'll go Jefferson.
I'm going Robert Swift.
It was Richard Jefferson.
I remember that story.
You do? Yeah, some of you might know these stories. This is my favorite story. This player had a big-time birthday party and invited tons of people. After they sang happy birthday, this player was presented with a gigantic cake big enough to feed everyone at the party. The party guests had their plates and forks ready and were lined up, but after this player blew out his candles, he announced that nobody else would be eating cake, only himself. And then he threw the cake away after the party. So who was this player? Was this Dwayne Wade, Andre Kirilenko, Paul Pierce, or Robert Swift?
Robert Swift. Surely Swift.
Robert Swift?
Kirilenko.
Kirilenko?
I'll go Pierce.
I'll go Kirilenko.
It was Paul Pierce.
Wow.
Yeah. Alex has 2 points.
What a jerk.
That's
Alex,
a funny story.
The catfish. Story? But I thought if I were guessing, I would have also guessed Kirilenko.
That yeah, because Kirilenko like is weird.
Yeah, he's very
you
strange.
You heard the story about his wife and his agreement that they have?
Yeah.
No, but will you please tell us?
Every year, he gets to sleep with a different woman other than his wife. And this is, like, agreed to. And he, like, has to tell, he, like, tells her, like,
as long as
this will be my woman.
Cool. Weird. He's so weird. He's so weird.
In Russia, I love his back tat. Very common.
Yeah. He got that big old back tat.
I heard it's a World of Warcraft tattoo. Can you confirm?
It is like a flying, like, goblin-type dragon thing. But
it's cool.
It covers his full back.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it. It's pretty cool.
The wings, you can see the wings coming out of his jersey.
And on 2K13.
Yes.
They did that?
Yeah. They did.
Cool. All right. This player was mad that Patrick Ewing had gotten away with a lot of fouls during a game. So after the game, this player stole Ewing's TV. Ewing had his name on the TV, so everyone knew who went. So everyone who went to this player's house knew it was Pat's. Was this Jalen Rose, Dale Davis, Sam Mitchell, or Robert Swift?
Dale Davis.
Yeah, I'll say Dale Davis.
That's Jalen.
I'll say Jalen.
Yeah, it was Jalen. Did you see this story on the thing? Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's funny.
This player rented his house to Prince. One day he drove by the house to find that the Prince logo was on the front gate, the fountain water was changed to purple, some walls were knocked out, and the master bedroom was turned into a hair salon. Yeah. Was this player Eddie Curry, Carlos Boozer, John Sally, or Robert Swift?
I'll say John Sally.
Carlos Boozer.
Carlos Boozer.
Booze?
Yeah, it was Booze.
I remember hearing that story. It was so weird.
That is like one of the weirdest stories.
He's a weirdo.
Prince?
No, Boozer.
It's weirder for Prince, I feel like.
No.
It was
like pretty. We know Prince is a weirdo. Yeah,
that's true. That's
it
true.
Was like a house that he rented out, and he rented it to him.
Yes. He rented it to Prince. And then he came by and he was like all mad at Prince. And Prince was like, here's $1 million. That should cover it. And then he was like, okay, Prince is a cool dude. He said that in a quote.
Just like that.
He probably screamed it because he screams
everything. And one cool dude.
So now we're on to quotes, and I'll give you the context of these quotes after. Okay. I'm hunting for little Mexican girls. Was this Pat Riley, Larry Brown, George Karl, or the coach, the great head coach, Robert Swift?
That's Robert Swift.
What's the wait, you're going to give us context now or after we answer?
No.
I'll say George Karl.
Okay.
I'll say Pat Riley.
Yeah, Pat Riley.
It was George Karl. All right. Here's the context. He was wearing cowboy boots, and Kobe Bryant's wife said, "Hey, cowboy, what are you hunting for?"
That still doesn't make any sense.
It makes sense. It's just awkward and inappropriate.
Kobe Bryant's wife is Mexican, I believe. So that's why I said I'm hunting for little Mexican girls.
I don't
something.
Know
I thought
she looks like Latina.
I don't really want to talk about this. Let's go.
There's no way to go well on this. Yeah,
it's not racist. That's what they look like. Anyway.
It's not racist. It's what they look like. All right, moving on.
Is that something people say?
No.
It is now.
Yeah, I just said it. All right, number six. The LA Clippers. I can't even do it. The LA Clippers grabbed our Wang. Was this Don Nelson, Phil Jackson, Alvin Gentry, or Robert Swift?
Don Nelson.
I'll say Phil Jackson.
Alvin Gentry?
Yeah, Alvin Gentry.
It was Don Nelson. He said it because he lost his player, Gigi Wang, to the Clippers. Remember the first Chinese player in the NBA? Yeah, the LA Clippers grabbed our Wang. Number seven, you can't just do it for two halves. You got to do it for the whole game. Who said this? Latrell Sprewell, Reggie Evans, or Jason Terry?
Latrell.
Reggie Sprewell. Evans.
That sounds like Sprewell.
Yeah, Latrell.
It was Jason Terry. He's pretty dumb. He had a lot of really stupid quotes. He's a pretty dumb guy.
He also had the NBA trophy tattoo before he had
won. Yes, with the Celtics.
No. It was the year they won it with the Mavericks.
Yeah, it was at the Mavericks.
It was?
Yeah.
He did it that playoff or before the playoffs.
Before the season.
Was it before the season?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Somebody had a tattoo party.
Yeah.
Who was that?
I forget. I remember. I heard about that in just the last few days.
It was
who you would on there?
Deshaun Stevenson.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's
you just got to go through their team and be like, Dirk wouldn't have one. Jason Kidd, probably not.
Deshaun Stevenson had a
the guy who has
party.
Abe Lincoln on his neck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's awesome.
That's funny. I got one more. People touching me on our team. We got a lot of young guys, and they always want to poke at you and tickle you and stuff, and I really hate it. This is just so funny when you figure out who it is. Was it Kwame Brown, Eddie Curry, or Juwan Howard?
Juwan.
It has to be Juwan.
Juwan.
Eddie Curry. It's way. I think that's way funnier. I just imagine all these young players poking and tickling.
They're in the corner, and Eddie Curry just getting tickle fought all over the place.
Yes. And it's funny. He's like, I really hate that. Okay, anyway.
That's good.
That's it. That's the game. Who won?
I really like that.
That was great.
Alex won.
Alex, good job, man. He won. Who did that? Who did that?
That was good. That was really good. I liked that a lot.
I spent 50 minutes on it.
You had to have spent 50 minutes.
All right. That was awesome. Let's move on to our Say What stat of the week.
Say what?
Stat of the week. This is a stat that we saw that made us say what? And so, Alex, will you go first?
Yes, I was reading the Wages of Wins blog. And he's been doing articles about attendance and ticket sales. And so he had like the top markets, and then he had a second post was the worst markets. And so I just wanted to give you the three worst markets in the NBA. And basically the way he figured this out was he projected what they should be making per game and then what they are and the difference between them. So it's not an exact science. It's based on his methodology. But anyways, so the third worst market is New Orleans. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Worst market is Washington Wizards. Kay. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the second worst market?
I want to say Bobcats. It's probably
Pacers.
Not
I'd say the Bucks.
Boston.
It's Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah,
Brooklyn. The Nets, which I thought was really surprising. Yeah. But he said it was based on the giant market that they live in, that they could be charging a lot more.
It's like a percentage?
Yeah.
It's like based on a percentage of...
Yeah, what they could be making based on the amount of people that live in the area.
Okay. Huh.
But he said they are getting... They were the team that grew the most from last year, obviously.
Yeah. So who are the top three?
I don't remember.
Cool.
But the Thunder were number eight.
There we go.
And every team above them was teams... Like, seven was the Knicks. So
yeah.
It was all the huge markets above them. Lakers. They were definitely the best small market team.
Yeah. Better than San Antonio?
Even San Antonio, are they a small market technically?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big old city, though.
It's a big old city.
That's a big old city.
Big old, fat
That's
old city. Big old city.
What's Charles Barkley say? They got big old girls there?
He talks about their big women, which I think is hilarious.
That's funny.
That is
great.
That's why I love Charles Barkley. I had something that made me say what, and it was the amount of force that caused the Louisville player's leg to explode when he went to block.
Was this sports science?
Yeah, I think.
I don't believe anything.
This is what he said.
This
is what he said when he was laying on the ground.
No,
he didn't. This is the amount of force.
He did. He did say this.
Coach, I estimate about 400 pounds.
They had like a person, an expert, come in and say how much, like based on how much force it was. And it was 2,500 pounds of force.
How do you even do that? Based on the way he broke it, that I can't even comprehend.
Did they compare it to anything?
I don't remember, but that's what they said.
Like,
that's
what else would take 2,500 pounds of force?
Have you seen the picture?
Yes, don't.
God.
Don't show it. It's sick. On the podcast.
Yeah. It is sick.
He'll tweet it out later because he just, nobody even responded to Luke. Luke's like, have you guys seen the picture of the guy's leg?
No, I just said
no response, picture.
Yep. Because I didn't choose to see it, someone on Twitter said, hey, man, it was a great Easter. Here's a picture of me and my family. It wasn't a picture of him and their family. It was a picture of the leg.
Something had to.
That's awesome.
There's something else. He surely, it was cracked or something.
They said he might have had a stress fracture.
And the guy just landed on the ground, and his leg just goes
like it was. It was already weakened by something.
Yeah, like there were a lot of.
God,
like
I will never
storm.
Jump again.
Seriously,
I'm not
leaving the ground.
I mean, that bone is so thick. That bone is like so big.
And it broke out of the skin.
It's unreal. How does that just break in half?
I don't know.
Anyway,
can we take that as a drop?
Yeah, yeah, please. That bone is so big. That bone is so thick.
Taylor, what do you got, man?
Say what? This is your Jose Calderon say what stat of the month. In the 2008-2009 season, Jose Calderon shot 98.1% from the free throw line.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? It's the best percentage of all time.
Did he,
in
didn't
the
he
history.
Only miss three that season?
I don't know. It was, right. I think.
I wonder how many he shoots, though.
Is it also true that he avoided contact for the entire season so he wouldn't have to shoot free throws? Because that is true. Yeah.
But he actually had 2.3 free throw attempts per game, which isn't terrible for him.
But he also that season shot the 50-40-90, but he didn't qualify for his free throws because he didn't shoot enough.
No, he qualified for free throws. He didn't qualify for
field
goals.
Because
I looked it up.
Is that true?
Don't worry, he just made it up.
I swear. It was something. He actually shot like 85%, but 98 sounds better. No, he actually shot 98%.
Wait, what? Are you trying to make us say what?
No. My say what's that of the week. This is Shaquille O'Neal. This
Shaq
is one of Andrew and I's initial connections. Like
that was it.
13 years ago, a long time ago. We both have an affinity for Shaq. He got his number retired for the Lakers last night. Well, I got a couple stats for you. During the 99-2000 season, which is maybe their best season, one of their best seasons, Shaq scored a staggering 22.5 points in the paint per game. And the closest anyone else has gotten since then is Dwight Howard at 15 points, which was last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
And then, so listen to this. In those finals, they swept the Pacers. Shaq averaged 38 points, 16.7 rebounds, and 2.7 blocks in the finals.
I think it was that. I think I saw the shot chart for that finals too, and
he didn't shoot outside of the paint.
Nothing. Yeah, there was like four shots outside of the paint.
I sent out a.
He had no reason to shoot outside the paint.
Yeah,
God, he just so dominant. People don't understand how good he was.
People just think of him as fat, slow, and
funny.
Really bad on TNT.
Yeah.
Luke was really impressed with Jeannie Buss last night.
Yeah. You were?
Yeah. She was a fox.
Jeff Green, in his second season with the Thunder, averaged 17 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal per game. And I saw that, and I thought that was crazy. Because I don't think of Jeff Green as a 17 per game score, seven rebounds.
What were his minutes back then? Weren't they?
It was like 38 minutes per game.
Ridiculous.
But still, if he averaged 38 minutes per game now, I wouldn't think that he'd be a 17-7 guy.
Yeah.
That year, he was also our second best scorer, right? I mean, that was before Russ really came. If it was his second year, then that would mean it was Russ's first year.
Rookie year. Yeah.
And so he wasn't really the Russ that we know now.
He was shooting the ball. He surely was shooting the ball a lot.
Johan Petro?
Huh? Johan Petro?
You don't like Johan Petro?
I mean, he's an offensive juggernaut, but...
Yeah.
Chris Wilcox?
Crispy Nance. He didn't come until midseason. Chris Wilcox, I love him because he tried to dunk from wherever he got the ball. It didn't matter where it was. He would try to dunk it.
I appreciate that.
I like that about him.
All right, let's move on to our pour one out stat of the week. This is something that
pour
happened
one
to
out stat of the week.
Yeah, no, just the pour one out of the week. I don't know. I always mess up this intro. It's for a player that we needs a pick me up. We'll pour one out. Okay. I'll go first. I'm pouring one out for Serge Ibaka because a certain picture has gone around.
That is saved on my phone.
He's standing with a man, and hey, he's wearing sweatpants, and the wind is against him, and you can see his enormous penis or the outline of it. And I'm sure he's embarrassed or really proud.
Can I say that none of us responded to the Kevin Ware picture, but we all talked about that Serge Ibaka picture?
Yeah.
It's that crazy. Cool.
Well, at first I didn't even know anything about it. I didn't either. It was just like this picture with this older black gentleman that has glasses on his head.
It looks like he's at like a car dealership.
It's real weird.
We're going to have to rate this podcast differently than it's like rated MA for mature.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Taylor's talking about bones.
For real, though, I didn't even start that like that, but I finished it like that.
That's another drop. Okay. I'm going to pour one out for two NBA referees this past week. Danny Crawford, during a Bulls game, Carlos Boozer got an and-one. He was celebrating. I think it was in the second quarter. And he punched Danny Crawford in the nuts.
Was it in the nuts?
It was near the pubic area.
This is rated M, man.
Yeah.
I saw that. That was crazy.
Word. Yeah.
It was hilarious.
It was awesome. And then I'm also going to pour one out for Bill Kennedy, who got inadvertently elbowed in the head by Larry Sanders after a jump ball and fell to the ground.
Larry said, you know that guy's just got the sharpest elbows. Cut through a steak with those elbows.
You know it.
You know it.
Last night, Shane Battier in the Heat game tried to pass to the ref, and it just went way out of bounds.
I love that. That's so funny when they do that.
It was really good. He's got to pour one out.
Kevin Durant's brother, I'm pouring one out for.
Tony
Durant. Last week, a couple players of the Thunder showed up to the Louisville women's locker room to celebrate their big win.
Yeah.
And his brother was there, Tony Durant, right behind Kevin. So all the Louisville girls freak out, go run over to hug Kevin Durant. One of them hugs Kevin Durant and in the process punches Tony Durant in the face.
If
you go watch the video, you can see him get punched in the face.
Are you serious?
I just feel really bad because it's probably hard being Kevin Durant's brother anyways. And then you go to things like this and people just punch
now,
you.
Everybody know what Tony Durant looks like?
Yes.
Yes.
Kind of tall, chubbier a little bit. Probably looks like me a little bit, except for not similar color. That's not a racist comment.
That is, it is.
That's what they
look
like.
That's just what they look like.
So, you remember? So, it must have been 3 years ago during Summer League. He got a roster spot on the Summer League team, Tony Durant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
That just shows you really cool, Kevin Durant. Yeah. Cool. So my 4-1-out, I had it for Kevin Ware. Obviously, the guy snapped his leg into two pieces. The grossest injury I've ever seen. And also got to see a graphic, way too close picture of it as well.
You're welcome.
But also, this is my final Andrew Bynum moment. Read in an interview this week that he's not giving the Philadelphia 76ers any special consideration, even though they signed him and he completely used them for an entire year for nothing.
One thing that I heard was that he could play, but if he does play any minutes at all, that they will not get full coverage on his contract for the season.
So they just told him not to.
So they may have said, go away, because we don't want to have to pay this whole thing.
Now, they knew he was injured when they signed him or when they traded for him.
I don't think that they knew that his injury was like this, but I think that they... I mean, you know that signing Andrew Bynum is a risk.
So could they pull? They couldn't pull kind of how Boston did with Jeff Green and got a second round pick in the Thunder or anything like that.
They won't do that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. If they let him walk, or if they do like a sign and trade with someone,
or if they just overpay him.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Surely somebody's going to max him out.
Somebody will overpay him. He doesn't deserve more than 2 years.
No,
but maybe Dallas will do it if they can't get Dwight.
Surely.
Oh my gosh. They'll be doomed.
If they get Dwight, though, gosh, L.A. is going to. That's funny. Because they don't. What's their future? I mean, they still have the three guys. Anyway, we gotta wrap this up. But L.A. doesn't have much future. And they're good. After 2 years, they're completely empty.
They always have a future, though.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Because they're L.A. I'm pouring one out for Royce White because he's not playing any games. I mean, he was playing for the D League. He wasn't doing that well. He's not playing in the NBA. And he was getting attention for all this anxiety disorder stuff. You guys probably heard about it. Mm-hmm. But now everyone's just done with it. No one's giving him any attention anymore. And so now, I mean, what's he doing? He's not playing to get attention for his anxiety disorder, and he's not getting attention anymore. And he's probably just going to be one of those guys. He's very arrogant on Twitter, by the way. It's very annoying. He does hashtag be well after he retweets like negative tweets. It's really annoying. But he's probably just going to be one of those guys that we will never see in the NBA because of who he is.
And his Grantland, the Grantland piece about him by Chuck Klosterman, he said he wasn't even practicing, really.
Yeah.
At all.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's a good, so I'm pouring one out for him.
Like that. If we should tweet at him because he tweets back. Like anything negative or positive that you tweet at him, he tweets back. So.
Oh, all right.
And speaking of, you should follow us on Twitter. At DTD Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us reviews on iTunes. Tell your friends.
Search Down to Dunk, though, not DTD. Yeah, Down to Dunk Podcast.
Search Down to Dunk Podcast.
And we'll always link the podcast on our Twitter.
No. And Alex, since you're our first fifth man of the podcast, final word, what do you say, man?
If anyone's ever out in Portland, give me a ring. Show you a good time.
All right. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.